All right, let's dive into Autodesk. We're going deep today.
Deep.
With a stack of info, Wikipedia, in-depth articles, all about the company behind the software you likely use every day.
Yeah.
You know, AutoCAD. But how did they go from like a small startup in 82 to this global software giant?
Right.
We're going to uncover some, I think, surprising facts and really try to connect the dots on their journey. Strategic moves, acquisitions, even the challenges they faced.
Mm-hmm.
So starting at the very beginning, 1982, Mill Valley, California.
Okay.
13 individuals led by John Walker. And they had this vision of bringing computer-aided design, CAD, to the masses.
To the people.
To the people.
Yeah.
Now, you and I, we know how vital CAD is.
Yeah.
But back then, it was this super expensive tool, right?
Yeah.
For big companies with massive computer systems.
Absolutely.
Autodesk changed the game with their first software, AutoCAD. And it made it accessible on personal computers.
Huge.
This wasn't just about convenience. It really democratized design.
It did, yeah.
Suddenly, smaller firms, even individuals, could use these powerful tools.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the ripple effects even today. The sheer variety of design work that's possible because of that.
Yeah.
That initial accessibility.
Yeah, I mean, that's really where it started.
3 years later, 1985, Autodesk goes public. The first PC-based CAD company to do so. Talk about ambition.
Wow.
And that ambition was evident again in 1990 when they created their multimedia division.
Okay.
It was almost like they predicted the future, recognizing how important 3D design and animation would become.
Interesting.
Fast forward to the late 90s and early 2000s, and Autodesk goes on an acquisition spree.
Spree.
They buy Discrete Logic, the company behind 3D Studio Max, and then Alias Systems, bringing Maya into their portfolio.
Wow.
And they don't stop there.
Right.
These acquisitions weren't just about getting new software. They were about eliminating competition, strategically positioning themselves as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Take Maya, for example.
Yeah.
It was the major competitor in the 3D animation and visual effects world.
Huge, yeah.
Acquiring wasn't just a business deal. It was a power move that solidified their dominance in that market.
Yeah.
That's like they were playing chess, you know?
Right.
Carefully eliminating opponents and becoming this dominant force in various design fields.
Across the board.
But it wasn't all smooth sailing. The 2008 financial crisis hit Autodesk hard, forced them to lay off 10% of their workforce.
Oh, wow.
Even giants can stumble.
Right.
It makes you realize how global events can impact even the most successful companies.
Yeah.
Challenges often breed innovation, though.
Yeah.
And under Carl Bass's leadership, Autodesk made a bold move.
Okay.
They shifted from perpetual licenses to a subscription-based model. That was a huge change, especially for customers used to owning your software outright.
Big change.
There was definitely some pushback initially. People didn't like the idea of recurring fees.
Right.
But from a business perspective, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
The shift to subscriptions brought in a significant increase in recurring revenue, and it ultimately strengthened Autodesk's financial position.
Smart.
So we've seen their rise, right?
Yeah.
From humble beginnings to this market dominance. But what about the people behind it all? John Walker, Carol Bartz, and the current CEO, Andrew Anagnost, they've all shaped Autodesk's journey.
Absolutely.
Each leader brought their own vision, their own approach. Walker, the visionary founder, steered the company through those crucial early years.
Right.
Bartz oversaw major acquisitions like Alias and the move into the media and entertainment market. And then Anagnost, he's been accelerating this cloud transformation with products like Fusion 360.
Yeah.
It's fascinating how each CEO's tenure aligns with these key decisions and Autodesk's overall trajectory.
Yeah.
But let's be real. Even with their powerhouse status, the landscape is constantly shifting.
Of course, yeah.
What are some of the challenges and opportunities they face today? Open source software like Blender is gaining traction. And then you have AI and digital twins. These are transforming industries.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for Autodesk?
That's the big question. The rise of open source alternatives like Blender is definitely something they need to address. I mean, it offers a free and powerful option, especially for individual artists and smaller studios.
Right.
And that puts pressure on Autodesk, right, to keep innovating, justifying the cost of their software.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's AI, the big one.
Yeah.
Autodesk has started integrating AI to their software suite. But the question is, how will they leverage it further
right.
to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah. We've talked about Autodesk being the software provider, but could they become more than that?
That's interesting.
Could they evolve into a platform a comprehensive ecosystem that seamlessly integrates these emerging technologies.
That's a really interesting thought. I mean, think about it. They have this huge user base, a wealth of design data, and a growing suite of tools. They have the potential to create a powerful platform that could, you know, revolutionize how we design and make things. And let's not forget emerging markets. India and China, with their booming construction and manufacturing sectors, represent huge opportunities for Autodesk. Further expansion into those markets could be a major growth driver in the coming years.
I mean, their current growth in Asia Pacific is already impressive. But there's still so much untapped potential there. It seems like Autodesk is at a crossroads. They've achieved incredible success. But now they face new challenges and opportunities that will require them to adapt, to innovate. It's like they're starting a new chapter.
Yeah, it is.
What's so fascinating is that they're not just reacting to these changes. They're actively shaping the future of design and making. Speaking of shaping the future, let's talk about their software lineup. We know the big names, right? AutoCAD, Revit, Maya, 3ds Max. But they've also developed and acquired this whole ecosystem of specialized tools. It's like they've got a toolbox for every stage of the design and production process, from conceptual design to simulation, visualization, even collaboration. Autodesk has something for everyone.
They do.
And they're constantly innovating. Fusion 360, for instance, is a game changer for collaborative design in the cloud, allowing teams to work together seamlessly from anywhere in the world. It's not just about individual tools, though. It's about how they all work together. Autodesk has been really pushing for interoperability, making sure their software can talk to each other. That's crucial, right, for streamlining workflows and improving efficiency. You can design a building in Revit, bring it into 3ds Max for high-end visualization, and then use Arnold, their rendering engine, to create photorealistic images. It's a seamless process. And for those of us in the architecture and construction world, Revit has become the industry standard, right? For building information modeling, or BIM. It's not just 3D modeling anymore. It's about creating a digital twin of the entire building with all its data and information. And that's completely changing how buildings are designed, constructed, and managed. BIM allows for better collaboration, clash detection, cost estimation, and so much more. It's a much more holistic approach to the entire life cycle of a building. But even with all these advancements, Autodesk faces competition. Open source software like Blender is becoming increasingly powerful, accessible. And then there are the game engines like Unreal Engine, which are being used for architectural visualization and even virtual production and filmmaking. It's a very competitive landscape. Blender, for example, offers a free and powerful alternative to 3ds Max or Maya, especially for individual artists and smaller studios. And game engines are pushing the boundaries of real-time rendering and interactive experiences, creating new possibilities for designers. So how does Autodesk stay ahead in this rapidly evolving market?
Well, for one, they're embracing open standards and formats. They've been a big supporter of USD, Universal Scene Description, which allows for better interoperability between different software packages. This means that even if someone uses Blender or another tool, they can still collaborate with Autodesk users. They're also investing heavily in AI, developing tools that can automate tasks, generate design options, even predict potential problems.
It seems like rather than fighting these new players, Autodesk is finding ways to collaborate with them. And integrate them into their ecosystem.
It's about creating a more open and connected design world. They're also focusing on key growth areas. Their acquisition of Spacemaker, for instance, shows their commitment to the future of urban planning and design. Spacemaker uses AI to help architects and urban planners create more sustainable and efficient cities. It's a fascinating example of how Autodesk is leveraging technology to tackle real-world problems. And they're not just focused on software. They're also building a community around their products. Autodesk University, their annual conference, brings together thousands of professionals from different industries to share knowledge, learn new skills, and connect with each other. That community aspect is often overlooked, but it's incredibly important. It's about fostering collaboration, innovation, and a shared passion for design. And it's not just about professionals either. Autodesk is also committed to education, providing free access to its software for students and educators.
That's fantastic.
They're investing in the next generation of designers and makers.
Yeah, it shows their long-term vision.
Yeah.
And commitment to the future of design. It's about empowering people to create and innovate, regardless of the background they're experiencing.
Absolutely.
That's something truly inspiring about Autodesk.
It is.
They're not just a software company. They're a force for positive change in the world.
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of ground here, from their early days to their current position as this global leader.
Mm-hmm.
But before we move on, I want to touch on something that's been on my mind.
Okay.
We've talked about all the amazing things Autodesk has accomplished, mm-hmm. but what about their impact on the industry as a whole?
Mm.
Has their dominance been a good thing, or has it stifled competition and innovation in some ways?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And it deserves serious consideration. On one hand, their success has undoubtedly raised the bar for design software, pushing the entire industry forward.
Right.
Their tools have enabled countless designers and engineers to create incredible things.
Yeah.
Think about all the iconic buildings, films, and products that have been designed using Autodesk software.
It's mind-boggling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, there's a valid concern that their aggressive acquisition strategy has led to a lack of diversity in the market. When one company controls such a large portion of the market share, it can be difficult for smaller players to compete.
And what about the pricing?
Yeah.
Autodesk's subscription model has been controversial. Some users feel like they're being forced into a system that benefits the company more than the customer.
That's a valid point. The shift to subscriptions has definitely changed the economics of the industry, and it's something Autodesk needs to be mindful of. They need to strike a balance, you know,
yeah.
between their business goals and the needs of their users.
Right.
It's a complex issue, no easy answers, but it's important to think about as we consider Autodesk's legacy and their role in shaping the future of design.
Absolutely. And it's a conversation that needs to continue.
It does.
We need to be critical, ask tough questions, and hold Autodesk accountable for their actions, both positive and negative.
Well said.
And I think that's a perfect segue into our final thoughts for this part of our deep dive. We've explored their journey, their impact on the industry, and the challenges and opportunities they face. But I want to leave you with something to ponder.
Okay, I'm intrigued.
Autodesk has always been at the forefront of technological innovation.
Mm-hmm.
But as we move into this new era of AI, automation, and the metaverse, what role will they play?
Hmm.
Will they continue to lead the way, or will they be disrupted by new players and new technologies?
That's the million-dollar question. Only time will tell. But I believe they have the potential to remain a major force in the design world, provided they continue to adapt, innovate, and embrace these emerging technologies.
Yeah.
And they need to stay connected to their user community. You know, listen to feedback, address concerns. After all, it's the designers, the engineers, the artists who are ultimately shaping the future.
Mm-hmm.
And Autodesk needs to be their partner in that journey.
Absolutely. They need to empower their users, not control them.
Right.
It's about collaboration, not domination.
Well said.
And on that note, let's take a breath and continue this deep dive into the world of Autodesk in our next part. It's been a fascinating journey so far, and I hope you're gaining new insights and perspectives along the way.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Always a fascinating conversation. Okay, so we left off talking about Autodesk's role in this rapidly evolving landscape.
Right.
And one thing that really struck me is this tension between their dominance.
Right.
And the rise of these alternative tools, like Blender.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a David and Goliath situation.
It is, yeah.
On one hand, you have Autodesk, this massive corporation, right? With a vast portfolio of software.
Right.
And on the other, you have Blender, this open source underdog that's gaining a lot of popularity.
It is, yeah.
It's fascinating to see how these two forces are interacting and how they're shaping the future of design.
Yeah, it is.
What's interesting here is that Autodesk isn't ignoring Blender. They're not trying to crush it.
Right.
They're actually embracing open standards. Formats like USD, which allow for better interoperability between different software packages.
It's a smart move.
It is, yeah. Instead of trying to lock users into their ecosystem, they're acknowledging that the design world is becoming more diverse, more interconnected.
Right.
By supporting open standards, they're ensuring that their tools can still be a part of that conversation. Even if someone's using Blender or another alternative.
Absolutely.
They're also making significant investments in AI, developing tools that can automate tasks, generate design options, and even predict potential problems.
Yeah.
This is where it gets really interesting. AI has the potential to be a game changer. I mean, for the entire design industry.
Yeah.
And Autodesk is positioning itself to be at the forefront of this revolution.
They are.
But is there a risk that AI could become too dominant?
That's a good question.
I mean, if software can automate so much of the design process, what does that mean for the role of human designers?
Yeah, that's a question that I think a lot of people are thinking about. It's true that AI can automate certain tasks, but I believe it will ultimately augment human creativity,
okay,
not replace it.
Okay.
Think of it like this. AI can handle the tedious and repetitive aspects of design.
Right.
Freeing up designers to focus on the more conceptual, the more strategic elements.
So it's like having a super-powered assistant.
Yeah, exactly.
That can take care of all the grunt work so you can spend more time on the big picture.
Yeah, exactly.
And with AI-powered tools, designers can explore a wider range of design options, possibilities than ever before. Mm-hmm. It's like having an infinite number of sketches at your fingertips.
Right.
But wouldn't that lead to a kind of homogenization of design?
Hmm.
If everyone's using the same AI tools, won't we end up with a lot of designs that look and feel the same?
Yeah, that's a valid concern. But I think it's important to remember that AI tools are just that, tools.
Right.
They're only as good as the people who use them.
Okay.
Ultimately, it's the human designer who makes those creative decisions, who shapes that vision, and who brings their unique perspective to a project. Mm-hmm. So AI might help us generate more options, but it's still up to us to choose the best ones and to imbue them with our own style, with our own personality.
Right.
It's like having a vast library of musical instruments at your disposal.
Yeah.
The tools themselves don't make the music. It's the musician who brings them to life.
Right.
And let's not forget that AI is still in its early stages of development.
Yeah.
The tools we have today are just a glimpse of what's possible in the future. As AI continues to evolve, it will become even more sophisticated, more nuanced, allowing for even greater levels of creativity and customization.
So while there are certainly challenges
and
potential pitfalls, you're optimistic.
I am,
about the future of AI in design.
I think it has the power to unlock new levels of creativity.
Yeah.
And to help us solve some of the world's most pressing problems.
Yeah.
But it's crucial that we approach AI, with a critical and thoughtful mindset.
Mm.
We need to be mindful of its limitations.
Right.
And we need to ensure that it's used in a way that benefits humanity as a whole.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just about creating cool designs.
Right.
It's about creating a better world.
Well said. And I think Autodesk is aware of this responsibility. I mean, they've been talking a lot about the ethical implications of AI.
Yeah.
And they've been investing in initiatives to promote diversity and inclusion in the design industry.
Right.
They're also working on ways to use AI to address sustainability challenges, like designing more energy efficient buildings, reducing waste in manufacturing processes.
Absolutely.
It's encouraging to see that they're thinking about these bigger picture issues. You know, they're not just focused on the bottom line. They're also considering the impact their technology has on society.
Yeah.
They're recognizing that they have a role to play in shaping a more equitable, a more sustainable future.
Yeah, they are.
And it's not just about Autodesk. Mm. It's about all of us. You know, in the design community, we need to have these conversations. We need to challenge each other. And we need to work together to ensure that technology is used for good.
Absolutely.
It's our responsibility to ensure that the future we're designing is one that we can all be proud of.
Right. Well said.
Now, speaking of power, I want to go back to something we touched on earlier, which was Autodesk's market dominance.
Mm-hmm.
It's no secret that they've acquired a lot of companies over the years, mm-hmm. and some people have raised concerns about this strategy.
Right.
They argue that it stifles competition, innovation, and that it gives Autodesk too much control over the industry.
It's a valid concern.
It is. When one company becomes so dominant, it can create a kind of monoculture where everyone's using the same tools, thinking in the same way.
Right.
And that can be dangerous because it limits diversity of thought and it can lead to stagnation.
Right.
But on the other hand, Autodesk's acquisitions have also brought a lot of great software, under one roof.
Yeah.
Making it easier for designers to access this wide range of tools.
Yeah.
It's also allowed them to invest in research and development on a scale that wouldn't be possible for smaller companies.
Yeah.
And they've used that investment to develop some truly innovative products.
Yeah, they have.
So it's a complex issue. There are no easy answers.
Right.
But I think the key is for Autodesk to be mindful of the potential downsides of their dominance.
Yeah.
And to actively work to promote competition and innovation in the industry.
For sure.
They need to be willing to partner with smaller companies, to support open standards, and to invest in emerging technologies that could challenge their own position.
Absolutely.
You know, they need to be the ones pushing the industry forward.
Yeah.
Not holding it back. If they can do that,
yeah,
then I think their dominance can be a positive force.
Right.
It can be a driver of progress, a catalyst for positive change. But it's a delicate balance, and they need to tread carefully.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, I know we've been focusing a lot on the business side of things,
mm-hmm,
but let's not forget about the human element.
Yeah.
Behind all the software, the technology, there are real people who are using these tools to create amazing things.
Absolutely.
There are architects designing breathtaking buildings, engineers developing life-saving medical devices, and artists creating worlds that transport us to other realms.
Yeah.
And that's what's so inspiring about design. It's about using our creativity, our ingenuity, to solve problems, to improve lives, and to make the world a more beautiful place.
Mm.
Autodesk may provide the tools, but it's the people who are the real heroes of the story. They're the ones pushing the boundaries of what's possible. They're the ones shaping the future.
Right.
And Autodesk needs to remember that. They need to listen to their users. They need to support their creativity. And they need to empower them to make a difference. Because ultimately, it's not about the software. It's about the people.
Well,
that's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to get caught up in the technology and forget that it's all about people.
Yeah.
And speaking of people, I wanted to circle back to Autodesk's commitment to education.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that really impressed me, providing free access to their software for students and educators.
Right.
It's a huge investment in the future of design.
It is.
You know, it's not just about training the next generation of Autodesk users.
Right.
It's about empowering them to be creative, to solve problems, to make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, they're planting seeds that could grow into something truly remarkable.
Absolutely.
And it's not just about formal education either.
Right.
Autodesk has also been a big supporter of makerspaces.
Yeah.
And other initiatives that promote hands-on learning experimentation.
Right.
They're recognizing that design isn't just something you do in a classroom or in an office.
Right.
It's a way of thinking. It's a way of interacting with the world. And by supporting these initiatives, they're helping to foster a culture of creativity and innovation that extends far beyond the traditional design industry. It's about democratizing design, making it accessible to everyone.
Right.
It's about empowering people to take their ideas and turn them into reality.
Yeah.
And who knows what amazing things could come from that.
Absolutely.
It's exciting to think about all the potential that's out there just waiting to be unlocked.
Yeah.
But of course, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's true.
And as Autodesk continues to grow and evolve, it's important that they use their influence wisely.
Yeah.
You know, they need to be mindful of the impact their technology has on the world. And they need to make sure that it's used for good.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be leaders in sustainability, mm-hmm, in ethics, in social responsibility.
Oh, right.
And they need to be accountable to their users, to their employees, and to the wider community.
For sure.
It's a tall order.
It is.
But I believe they're up to the challenge.
And I think so, too.
You know, they have a unique opportunity to shape the future of design.
Yeah.
And I hope they seize it.
Me, too.
Now, I know we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
We've explored Autodesk's history, their successes, their challenges, their future prospects.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with one final thought.
Okay.
Something to ponder as you continue your own journey in the world of design.
All right, I'm listening.
Autodesk has shown us that technology can be a powerful force for creativity and innovation.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that technology is just a tool.
It is.
It's up to us, the designers, the makers, the dreamers,
mm-hmm,
to use these tools to create a better world.
Well said.
We have the power to shape the future. And I urge you to use that power wisely.
I agree.
Let's create a future that's sustainable,
yeah,
equitable, and inspiring. A future where design is used to solve problems, to bring people together, and to make the world a more beautiful place. It's been a fascinating conversation.
It has been.
I always learn so much from these deep dives.
Me too.
And I hope you've enjoyed it as well.
I have.
Until next time, keep creating and keep innovating. The future of design is in your hands.